Ring the bell, south of the border. This is Movie Fighters, the show where Chris Sims and I, Matt Wilson, we watch movies and we beat them up. For this month's episode here in February, we're doing something kind of special because, Chris, you went on a trip in which you visited our neighbors to the south in Mexico, specifically in Cozumel, and not to blow up anybody's spot on snack situation, we never want to do our snack situation early. We never want to break the snack situation seal too early. But it does explain why we're watching the movie we're watching, because, Chris, you picked up some snacks down there in Mexico.
Literally the only thing I did. Literally the only thing I did in Mexico was I went and bought snacks specifically to eat them on Movie Fighters. I have only technically been to Mexico because I only kind of got off the dock in the little enclosed shopping mall compound in Cozumel. I ate some guacamole. I did not go to Señor Frog's, which was my option. It was Señor Frog's and Margaritaville were my two options. I think there might have been a Hooters.
What authentic Mexican cuisine?
I think I mentioned this. We did a War Rocket Ajax bonus episode for Patreon backers where we talked about the cruise for about an hour. I think I mentioned that when the ship docked in Cozumel, I was like sitting out on the balcony, and the water was so like beautiful blue, and the weather was so nice, and then I could hear fucking Bryan Adams blasting from the Señor Frog's on the boat that far away. That's how hard they were rocking Summer of 69. The only thing I did in Mexico was I briefly got off the ship, and when I found out you could, in fact, purchase snacks and bring them back, I did. And I actually, Matt, I actually did buy two of a couple of these things, because I thought maybe we could get together and do it. And the thing is, I saw you yesterday. Literally, as yes. We were recording this, I was at your house yesterday, and I knew we were going to do Movie Fighters today, and I knew we were going to do the Mexican snack-themed Movie Fighters, and I am going to just eat them all myself, because I did not take them to you.
I have secured not exactly Mexican snacks, but thematic snacks that I can eat during the movie. The movie we are watching is a boxing movie called From Mexico with Love, which has been described by what you might call the more forgiving critics, I would suspect. I'm very reticent to agree to this. We'll watch and see. And it's been called Mexico's answer to Rocky. We will see how close it gets to Rocky. Now, we were originally going to watch a movie called WrestleManiac that stars Rey Mysterio Sr. But, one, it's a scary movie, and I know, Chris,
I don't like scary movies.
Not prefer to watch that. And two, it has just been removed from Hulu. So I'll have to watch WrestleManiac on my own time later. Instead, we are watching this 2009 sports drama that at first doesn't seem particularly authentically Mexican. It's directed by a guy named Jimmy Nickerson, not a very Mexican name. The writers are Glenn Hartford and Nicholas Siapkaris, not particularly Mexican names either. The lead actor is a guy named Kuno Becker, which, upon first hearing his name, does not seem like he is from Mexico. But he, in fact, is. He's from Mexico City. So, at least we're good on that front. The star is, in fact, actually from Mexico. And he's an up-and-coming boxer. And that's all I really know about this movie. But, Chris, I do want to share this with you.
Okay, now we kind of decided on this one last minute. But right before we started recording, you were like, I have some information.
Yes. The information is, I would like you to take a wild guess as to what the first recommended movie in IMDb's People Who Liked This Also Like list for From Mexico with Love.
Is it like Once Upon a Time in Mexico, the Robert Rodriguez film?
No. It's not the Mexico theme.
Is it the Rocky theme?
Yeah, go boxing. It's not Rocky.
Jeez, Creed?
It's Carmen the Champion.
No.
Yeah, that movie about Carmen, the Christian pop singer, being a boxer.
You mean the Christian pop singer that we are collectively obsessed with?
Yes.
And have talked about quite a bit on War Rocket Ajax.
I mean, we're probably going to have to watch that movie eventually.
We're going to do a theme later this year, maybe in the summer months where things are we don't really have like holidays to really tie into, and we're going to watch that, and we're going to watch that movie with Sting, and the new movie with Shawn Michaels, where Shawn Michaels is a biker who finds Jesus.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to just have to do like Christian movies starring wrestlers and maybe Carmen Champion, the champion.
Starring people that we are otherwise obsessed with from unrelated things.
But the next movie on the recommended list is The Hammer, which is the Adam Carolla boxing movie. So I don't know what to think.
Oh, boy. So you think this might be Mexico's answer to The Hammer? Mexico's answer to Here Comes the Boom.
Chris, I don't know if we've ever talked extensively about Rocky on this show.
Yes.
But I love the Rocky movies.
I also love the Rocky movies. To a point. I love the first four.
I don't love, well, like Rocky 2 is straight up just a rehash of the first one.
Yeah, okay, look, here's the deal. Rocky 1 is a legitimately great, legitimately beautiful, legitimately moving film.
It's a classic. And it's a beautifully constructed movie. The last time I watched Rocky, which was on Thanksgiving, because that's a weird tradition my wife and I have now. We watch a Rocky movie on Thanksgiving. I actually sat there and watched it while I read the screenplay, because I dug the screenplay up. And that is really interesting to do, to see what got cut out and what got moved around, and like the lines that are a little different than they are in the script. But that script by itself is a work of art. Like, it, the whole thing is just beautiful.
The later movies kind of become about punching, but like, the boxing is almost incidental to the first Rocky movie, because it's a movie about like lost potential. It's a movie about like self-doubt and like just wanting to know that if you had the chance, you could do it. And that scene, the scene where he's laying in bed with Adrian and he just says, "I just want to know that I could go the distance," is like maybe one of the most moving scenes in film. Like, it makes me cry every time.
It's amazing. For all the justified criticism that Stallone gets for all his Stallone-ness, the first Rocky movie is pretty much unassailably wonderful.
And Rocky, the other Rocky movies are also great. Like, they're fun.
Yeah. Well, the other Rocky movies, you talk about them being about punching, which they are. They're also about celebrity.
Yes.
Like, Rocky 3 is about... Like, Rocky 3 is when it turns into a circus, right?
And Rocky 3 also has a lot of interest... Like, an interesting, like, treatise on celebrity. Because in Rocky 3, Clubber Lang is Rocky.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. But also, except for he, you know, kills a guy.
Also, Hulk Hogan is in Rocky 3. Like, it starts turning into a circus. And then Rocky 4... is,
well, Hulk Hogan fantasy. Is in Rocky 3 playing Andre the Giant. I don't know if you realize that.
Yes. And then Rocky 4 goes way off the deep end of being fantasy. And then Rocky 5 tries to pull it back to something more real and is just a bummer. Rocky Balboa doesn't necessarily work. And then Creed is the best movie I've seen in the past like 4 years.
I haven't seen Creed yet. I did have a funny experience where we were watching Empire. And there's like some Amazon Echo product placement. Don't, like, if you have an Amazon Echo, I'm about to address it, so don't freak out or anything. But there's a part where Hakeem is like in his apartment, and he goes, "Alexa, play Creed." And like until like Michael B. Jordan comes on screen, I was like, "Is Hakeem into Creed the band?" And I was so confused, and Aiden asked me why I was so confused, and I had to explain that to her. So Alexa, play Creed is something that we say a lot around our house these days.
Well, Chris, I'm going to tell you right now, we haven't watched From Mexico with Love yet, but after we watch From Mexico with Love, please watch Creed.
Incidentally, Tired saying that Die Hard is your favorite Christmas movie, Wired saying that Rocky IV is your favorite Christmas movie. That's a hot tip for all you iconoclasts out there, because lest you forget, the climax of Rocky IV takes place on Christmas Day.
In Moscow.
In Moscow, where they do not have Jesus.
That's right. Creed is an amazing, wonderful movie, and a remake of Rocky, essentially, done so right. So, From Mexico with Love has a lot to live up to. That's all I have to say. And with that, I think we'll just see what we have with From Mexico with Love. I am a little concerned that it's just going to be mega boring, but we'll see how it turns
out. That's the thing. If it's, like, as good as Rocky, then we're in for, like, an amazing treat where we have, like, unearthed a gem that just happened to wind up on Hulu. If it's, like, super wild, then we're going to have, like, at least an interesting time watching it. If it's just, like, shitty Rocky, like, which most movies, like, most movies about boxing are, including Rocky VI, then it's just going to be boring. Like, and we're going to waste the next 97 minutes.
Yeah, so we'll find out. Before we get to watching the movie, though, it's time for Snack Situation, the main event of the whole show. You'll have to fight for something to eat. Sometimes it's savory, sometimes it's sweet. Snack Situation, what you snacking on? Chris, what did you bring from Mexico for Snack Situation?
First of all, I also just got myself some chips and some salsa from Aldi, because when you're poor, that's where you get your chips and salsa. So I'm going to have those. But as far as sweets, and I will say, I am sure these are barely Mexican. I'm sure I could have gone to, like, the local, like, Mexican grocery store in Durham and gotten this same stuff. But I did purchase it technically in Mexico. I have De La Rosa, which is a small circle. It is a peanut candy marzipan style, according to the English on the label. So it's just like a little, it's like kind of about the, like, a size of a silver dollar, like a short stack of poker chips. So I've got that, De La Rosa. And that was actually recommended to me by one of the people I was hanging out on the cruise, who remembered it from their childhood. I have Mayab, M-A-Y-A-B, which looks essentially, now Matt, your wife is from Philly, Philadelphia.
Yes.
As is Rocky.
Correct.
This looks like a peanut chew. Like, just a Mexican take on the classic Philadelphia peanut chew.
Okay.
I have two of those and two of the De La Rosas. I have an Obleas, O-B-L-E-A-S, which is a wafer with goat's milk candy that I'm kind of looking forward to, because I think it looks like a little wafery dulce de leche kind of thing. And then as my main event, I have the Mayan Fiesta Rum Cake from the Mayan Fiesta Rum Cake Company, Cozumel, Mexico. They lured us in with the promise of free samples, and then I purchased one. There is zero Spanish on this label, so I'm sure it is mucho auténtico.
Right.
But I am excited about eating it, because I actually did have a taste of this when I was there, and it was quite good. So I am looking forward to having this Mexican vanilla Mayan Fiesta rum cake. So that is my Mexican snack situation.
Okay, so I will want a report on those when we get back from the movie. I am not going particularly authentic at all. I am going with the Mexican flavor stylings of the Frito-Lay Corporation. In that, I have some Tostitos Queso Blanco.
Matt. Have you ever looked at the logo for Tostitos?
Yes.
Did you know it's like two dudes enjoying a chip and some salsa?
Let's take a close look at the Tostitos. It is two dudes enjoying a chip and some salsa.
Yeah.
My whole world is turned upside down.
Hey, okay, good. You hadn't noticed either. Okay.
Not really.
Our good friend, Lexi Kalen, noticed this on Twitter, and I started texting her because I had eaten so many Tostitos in my life, and I have never noticed. It's the T-I-T in Tostitos is two dudes dunking a chip into some salsa. The I is salsa. The I is a table with salsa.
The I is a lowercase I, and the dot over the I is a jar of salsa, yes.
Yeah. I had never noticed it before. I'd never noticed how festive that fucking logo is.
It is a fantastically festive logo, just like the arrow and the FedEx logo that people may or may not notice. But I'm not actually eating Tostitos chips with the salsa. I have $2 only, Santitas.
Ah, Santitas, $2 only, my favorite.
They are also made by the Frito-Lay Corporation, by the way.
What?
So don't get fooled. Santitas and Tostitos are basically in the same family. But I'm just going to be eating some chips and queso blanco. I already know that it's delicious. You don't need a report from me. We're going to fire up From Mexico with Love. You can watch with us if you would like on Hulu. It is also on Amazon Prime, I believe. So you can watch it there. So you can either watch the movie and come back and join us, or you're just going to hear an ad and a little musical interlude. Either way, we'll be back to talk about the movie in just a sec. And we are back from watching From Mexico with Love, which we didn't mention in the top part of the show. The title is a James Bond reference that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, this movie it could have literally any other title, and it would be better. This movie could have been called The Avengers Age of Ultron, and that would have made more sense as a title than From Mexico with Love.
It's a weird title for this movie.
It's one of several very strange choices about what to tell and what not to tell the audience and when to tell them.
Before we get into talking about what happens in this movie, though, Chris, I want to hear all about the Mexican snacks that you ate during the movie.
Now, Matt, in our international snack situation, we commonly eat snacks from right here in the good old US of A, but we have had snacks from Japan, from the United Kingdom, from Iceland, from Australia twice. And yep. I want to say, am I missing one? I feel like we've had another one, too.
Well, we have some Chinese snacks that we're waiting to indulge in.
We have Chinese snacks that we're waiting on. Patreon.com/WarRocketAjax. Get us to that snack situation show, because I want to eat these Chinese snacks. But I will say this. Maybe because I just picked them up at a tourist trap, and they are the most tourist-friendly snacks. Maybe because they are genuinely great. Mexico, A-plus rank on the snacks. Across the board, delicious. I had the De La Rosa, which are like marzipan. They're kind of a crumbly, kind of flaky-ish marzipan, but very, very tasty. I had the Mayab, which are, as I thought, just peanut juice. Literally just straight-up peanut juice. The goat's milk dulce de leche thing that I had was chewier than I tend to like. The wafer wasn't quite as crispy as I like a wafer. It's not like like a Tunnocks. You know how I love my Tunnocks. Not quite like a like on the level of like a Stroop waffle, but good. And that Mayan Fiesta rum cake, delicious, tasty all around, top notch. The chips and salsa from Aldi, fine.
I mean, look, my Frito-Lay products were exactly what I expected and wanted.
Oh, listen. I love a grocery store queso every now and again.
Speaking of grocery store queso, this movie.
Yeah, pretty much. You got it. So better than Rocky, I would say. Not as good as Creed? Is that where we're putting it?
Final thoughts? Better than Rocky V.
No.
Maybe. Maybe on par with Rocky V?
Maybe on par with Rocky V. Kind of had a lot in common with... Well, no, I guess not. I guess I was going to say kind of had a lot in common, but no, it didn't. Actually, it had nothing in common. Although it would have been great if, like, this movie ended like Rocky V and Hector and Robert just beat the shit out of each other on the street. That would have been fun.
It has more in common with Rocky V than maybe the other Rocky movies. Because here's the deal. The stakes in this movie are extremely low. There's no title fight at the end of this movie.
There's an unsanctioned but well-attended boxing match.
That people bet on. Fucking Gene LaBelle shows up.
Judo Gene LaBelle shows up in this movie, which we did not know going in, and which was delightful.
And if you don't know who Gene LaBelle is, go look him up. He is the inventor of the LaBelle lock, and just a weird character in martial combat history. He's the referee in the match at the end of the movie.
And which is crazy, because I don't think Gene LaBelle was ever a boxer. He's a martial artist. Like he literally wrote one of the books that introduced judo to America. He worked as a professional wrestler. He's got a very influential in these sort of there's a reason Daniel Bryan did the LaBelle lock before he renamed it the S lock, and he was a stuntman. But I don't believe he was ever a boxer. I guess he was.
He's who they could get for this movie, right? A lot of this movie is clearly budget movie, we're doing what we can kind of stuff. But he says before the match, this is an unsanctioned match, but don't kick each other, okay? That's pretty much
That's actually one of my favorite parts of the movie, where he's like, hey, listen, I know it's an unsanctioned match, but like, if a guy goes down, don't kick him, okay? He's like an ECW referee. He is there to count the knockout and take the tap. That's it. No other function.
Pretty much. The stakes are very low. They're like, it's not Rocky IV in the Cold War, and it's not even Rocky I title match. It's just a personal revenge, honestly, personal animosity that leads to this match at the end of the movie.
It's not even really revenge. Our two leads are Rocky and our Apollo, to put it in those terms. They dislike each other, but they don't really have a reason to hate each other. And yet this movie is entirely based on, like, I'm going to kick his ass.
The problem with the movie is the fight at the end doesn't feel earned for several reasons. And the movie spends its time doing things that don't lead up to that fight at the end, that don't establish the animosity between those two characters, and don't establish the dominance of our Apollo Creed. There is a clear role reversal, because Rocky is in kind of that retrograde Great White Hope model of, you know, in boxing you have a black champion who is clearly supposed to be Muhammad Ali.
Yes, like Apollo Creed is one, because the secret of Rocky is that it's based on Chuck Webner's fight with Muhammad Ali.
Right. Like, you have this character who's clearly, who's a black champion who's supposed to be Muhammad Ali, and then you have this white Italian guy who goes the distance with him, and you're supposed to root for the white guy. This movie is about a guy who's originally from Mexico, but he lives in Texas, and most of the movie takes place in Texas. He is the Latino character, and the bad guy is a blonde-haired, white, rich kid.
He's about half a Dolph Lundgren. He's about half an Ivan Drago.
But the problem is, we never see the white rich kid be as shitty as we want him to be to root against him.
The thing you can root for in the movie is that by the end of it, it turns into immigrant farm workers versus their exploitative employers. And that's, you know, that's something that, like, I don't think we need the movie to tell us is like who the underdog is in that fight and who we should sympathize with in that fight. And to its credit, the movie doesn't really, like, spoon feed us that as much as it tries to kind of hand us everything else in its weird way. But also, like, the movie doesn't really develop any part of a personal animosity on the guy who's actually getting beaten up at the end. His dad's a piece of shit. And his dad is the one who's, like, gonna lose all, like, spoiler warning, when the good guys win at the end of this movie, his dad, like, loses a shitload of money, and, like, the farm workers, like, get a bunch of money. They literally, like, get his money because he loses everything on the bet. He is fighting via proxy with his son, who, like, just seems like kind of like a shitty jock. So, like, the movie's weird conflict of the macro-scale conflict of this movie, which is the immigrant farm workers versus their exploitative employer, right? Like, you would agree that that is the macro-scale conflict.
Yes, because you talk about it not spoon-feeding it to us. It does get spoon-fed to us right at the beginning. the very first thing that happens in the movie is there's a montage with a voiceover by a character that we will later find out is Tito.
Oh, I forgot about the montage of news footage.
All about how tough it is for migrants coming over the border, working these farm jobs for not a lot of money, and how they struggle, right? And Tito, who is a coyote who brings people across the border to work, is saying this because he's kind of – he's the facilitator in this movie. He's kind of like the bridge between the white people who own the farm and the migrants who come across the border. He gives this speech right at the beginning about how tough it is for migrants. And that is establishing the macro conflict of the movie from the get-go.
Yeah, but the actual conflict of the movie, the small-scale, like, personal conflict of the movie is Hector versus Robert, which, again, is just like, yeah, I don't like that guy. I'm going to kick his ass. For not really much of a reason.
Hector's not good enough to root for. And Robert's not shitty enough to root against. And there are easy ways to fix both of those problems, and we'll talk about it.
I'll lay this out right now. I think the core problem of this movie in terms of structure is there are too many goddamn characters. Because we don't need... Okay, look. There's three characters in this movie that could be one character. And that's Tito, Bruce McGill, and the other coyote... Like, the guy who's, like, working the Mexican side of Tito's operation. We don't need... Like, those could all three be one guy. And we wouldn't lose anything, I don't think.
Honestly, you could lose another character, and that's Hector's mom.
Yeah, you could really lose Hector's mom, too.
The same... Like, Tito and Hector's mom could be the same character. But anyway... Well, the first thing we see is Tito catching snakes, which is his cover for being a coyote.
I'll tell you who I don't want to lose, though. I'll tell you who I don't want to lose, and that's Border Patrol Officer Pete. But we'll get to him. He's important.
Tito's catching snakes. He makes like stuff out of snake skin, and he goes to Mexico to catch the snakes. He goes out into the desert. And he's approached by some Border Patrol agents, including Border Patrol Agent Pete, who becomes a very important character later in the movie. And they hassle him a little bit and say, can we look in the back of your van? Tito says, oh, yeah, sure. And he opens up the back of his van. It's just a bunch of snake skins. Because Tito's got this pretty smooth operation going, where he is ferrying people across the border. Now, let me say straight up, Tito... Chris, at one point you described him as basically Latino Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah, but I feel like he's kind of like the Jimmy Smits you can afford.
That is also probably true. That is a character actor who has been in a lot of stuff. He's actually Cuban, not Mexican, but I could not get over the seeing him as Jeffrey Dean Morgan thing throughout the rest of the movie. Like after that snake scene, we meet our lead character Hector, who works on a farm with his mother. Who is sick. She's got some kind of lung respiratory disease, and he has to give her, like, inhalers and other stuff. Because here's the thing about Hector. Hector isn't likable. We are just given 100 reasons to feel bad for him.
Towards the end of this movie, I literally asked Matt, can you name one positive thing about Hector? Like, can you name one good quality that he has? And the only thing we have was, well, he loved his mom.
Yeah.
That was it. He has no personality, which is, like, really frustrating. Because, like, again, we talked about Rocky. And, like, Rocky has so much that, like, kind of goes away in the later movies. But, like, even at their worst, like, Rocky has a consistent personality. He's fixated on his failures. He's full of self-loathing and the desire to, like, do better, but with the paralysis of not knowing how. Like, those are things. Like, what does Hector have? Like, what is he like? He kind of shitty.
He's kind of shitty.
To everybody who's not his mom.
Yeah, that's the thing. He complains all the time. He demands things that he hasn't necessarily earned. And... The first relationship we see him get involved with, other than the one with his mother, is Tito shows up with his newest group of migrants from across the border. And one of those people that he shows up with is Maria, who is played by Dene Garcia, who is also actually Cuban as well. We find out through some dialogue that she and Hector used to know each other in Mexico. I think they knew each other as kids. So they remember each other. It's sort of implied that Maria had a crush on Hector back then and is maybe still into Hector now. But the first thing Hector does is just be shitty to her and be like,
hey Matt, I want to do a scene real quick, okay? You play Maria and I'll play Hector, and it's the like the first scene, like the scene where they're like first meeting, and he's like showing her around the little house that she's going to be living in. So okay. You're Maria, and you're going to tell me like oh, remember me, okay? So action.
Okay, and this will be improvised dialogue because I don't remember any of the dialogue.
Yeah. And action.
Hey, Hector, it's me, Maria. Do you remember me?
Fuck you. And scene.
Not inaccurate. He's just a shit to her from the get-go, even though she tries to help him in every way she can.
And it's like, it's kind of done in the guise of, like, cute banter. Like, their first thing is like, yeah, you know, I remember, like, she's like, I remember you. You were always a smart ass, you know, even when we lived back in Mexico. I guess some things, you know, I guess some things never change. And he goes, yeah, you were a brat. You were an annoying brat. Nothing changes. And it's like, whoa, you do not have the acting chops to pull off banter, my dude.
He's not being cute or playful. He's just being shitty. We go from their introduction to seeing them actually like outworking in the fields.
Well, we see Hector box.
We see Hector box in here too.
There's a guy running like an underground boxing match at a local auto garage. They've got like this shitty ring set up. And you said when we were watching this, you were like, I don't know if this shitty ring is great or terrible. But it's like, it's kind of a perfect shitty boxing ring that you would find in an auto garage that a bunch of dudes set up to have a fight. And it's Hector, who is like what, like 25? Like young, like pretty cut Hector versus a guy who looks like if Ed Asner played Mario. So I guess he looks like Bob Hoskins. Yeah. I guess he really just looks like Bob Hoskins.
He looks like slightly more Latinx Bob Hoskins, yes.
We see Hector beat the shit out of this man. Like, there's like, he hits him in the face and like blood goes everywhere.
Blood explodes out of his mouth. I remember, like, I saw that happen. I was like, whoa.
It's like, hold the phone, Zatoichi.
It got violent. So the first we see of Hector boxing is that he's really good, right? Like, he's fighting somebody who's not good, but, like, he beats the crap out of this guy. And the promoter guy,
like, the other guy, like, doesn't touch him.
Yeah, and the promoter immediately goes, hey, are you ready for another fight? And Hector's like, yeah, sure. And, like, he's about to have another fight when Tito comes in and stops it. Because Tito's like, I don't fucking need this. That, like, I already have to deal with, you know, Border Patrol being on my ass already. I can't deal with, you know, getting in trouble for an illegal boxing ring as well. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And also I'm a drug dealer. also I'm a prescription drug dealer. So I got a lot of irons and fires. I do not need this garage situation getting away from me. Hector's boxing, as we learn, to raise money to get his mom medicine that comes in the form of an inhaler, because she's been working in the fields and she's having like a really, really hard time. So that's why he's boxing. So he wants to kind of like kind of upgrade, because we find out there's this other place that's not in a fucking Meineke called Red's, where the local, like, it's a big, hot local amateur boxing spot.
But here's the problem. We only ever hear Red's mentioned. We never see a fight at Red's.
Yeah. The much better version of this movie, we don't see Hector's fight. we see Roberts fight with Hector watching and wanting to get in on it, right?
And Robert, who is introduced in a scene where Maria and Hector are out in the field, and Robert drives up in his cherry red Mustang. Very loud.
Yeah, I looked at that and I was like, there's a lot of visual shorthand in this movie, Matt. He's like fucking Johnny from Karate Kid rolling up in his convertible.
But he like gets out and he's like, hey, you guys want a ride?
Hey, did you miss the truck? I can give you a ride if you want it.
The first thing we see Robert do is be nice and offer a ride to people.
She goes, I'd rather walk. And he goes, it's really hot out today, which because they're in fucking South Texas, they're in Laredo, so they're on the border. It's super hot. She's been working the field all day. And he goes, okay, well, like, I can give you a ride, but if you don't want it, here, at least take a Gatorade, and gives her a Gatorade, and then leaves.
But like she immediately opens and drinks the Gatorade, even though it is an unlabeled bottle full of yellow liquid.
Yeah.
There's no way she should be drinking this unsolicited bottle of yellow liquid from a guy that probably hates her.
We knew from the first second that a turn was coming for Robert. And I will admit, I was wrong. I thought it was going to be a sexual assault because we've seen enough of these movies that I am always expecting the worst. But, like, there's so many scenes of Robert giving, like, Gatorade and water to the workers on the farm that I was like, is he poisoning everyone? Is that what the twist is going to be? No, it's just like he's actually kind of a decent guy,
or
at least in this part of the movie,
he's at least not a total shit heel.
Like if you walk by him when he's like out on the farm, like he's got a cooler and he'll give you a bottle of water.
He at least sees the migrants as somewhat as human beings. Now, all of this can be explained away by the idea that he is just sexually attracted to Maria.
Yes.
Which we find out he is, but Hector and Maria find Robert later sparring in a boxing ring that's set up on like a flat, like a blacktop basketball court. Sparring.
And we should say, Robert's dad owns the farm.
Yes.
Because I don't think we really made that clear. Robert's dad owns the farm, and it's like he was into basketball as a kid, so he got him a basketball court, and now he's into fucking boxing. So they just put the boxing ring on top of the basketball court.
And he's being trained by this guy, Billy. Fucking Billy. Who used to be this great boxer. He used to be a great trainer, but he's kind of a washed-up burnout now. But the guy who owns the farm, the dad, Big Al, who is played by Stephen Lang from Don't Breathe, by the way, which distracted me throughout the whole movie, because it was the guy from Don't Breathe doing, like, second-rate Sam Elliott through this whole movie. Billy's, like, trying to train Robert and trying to give him pointers, and Robert isn't really listening.
Hector's watching him box and goes, and Maria goes, oh, is he good? And Andrew goes, yeah, he's actually really good, but his balance is shit. And he says this, like, loud enough for everybody to hear. And kind of understandably, again, like, not to have too much sympathy for the guy who is the villain of the movie, but kind of understandably, Robert turns around and goes, the fuck you say? Because we find out later, Robert is undefeated 28-0, 24 by knockout.
But then, later in that scene, Robert says that he didn't actually hear him. He didn't actually hear Hector say that. Or whatever he said. He just acted offended so that he could find out Maria's name. Because he's into Maria. But anyway, Hector and Robert spar a little bit in the ring. And it ends with, Robert actually kind of dominates Hector. I mean, Hector kind of holds his own. But Robert gets more in than Hector does. And it ends
because Robert keeps you know, like kind of push, like nag, like insulting him, and being like, yeah, like I don't give a shit about you. I just wanted to find out her name, and like you know, you're just like some like asshole who rolled up on my boxing ring. What are you even doing here? And like pulls his shirt up like they're in a hockey fight.
Yeah,
which is, you know, okay, he's kind of a dick, but he's only kind of a dick, you know, like if that would have been where it was cut. Then it's like, okay, Robert's kind of a dick. But later that day, like after they go home, Robert comes by Hector's house and tries to give him $50. And it's like, hey, man, you were my sparring partner. You earned this in the ring today. And Hector's like, I want your fucking charity. And it's like, okay, well, what we're seeing here is Hector being, like, super moody and Robert, like, trying to do the right thing.
I mean, if we wanted to paint it in a more favorable light for Hector, we could say that Hector is proud. You could understandably maybe say that that is a positive trait of Hector's. That he's proud and he has a form of integrity. But it comes off as just being shitty. And Maria realizes that he's being shitty. And she's like, just take the fucking money.
Yeah, your mom is dying.
Yeah.
And you're trying to like win fights to get money. Like, again, I thought this movie was going to be that Robert, whose name I couldn't remember, so I was just calling him Jason and Cody throughout the entire movie, because he seems like a Jason or a Cody. I thought it was going to be like, hey, you're better than any sparring partner I've ever had. Come be my sparring partner. And then, like, the movie would continue from there with those two maybe, like, having a falling out and having to, like, have a real, for real fight at the end. Which, I don't want to see, like, a paint-by-numbers, like, Rocky knockoff, but I feel like there's a logical sequence of events that this movie does its best to avoid. Also, Robert's on steroids, which we find out in the most hilarious way possible.
It is. They are not at all hidden in his bag.
He's Billy is looking for a mouth guard for Hector, and he reaches in the bag and pulls out. It's like when you carry a insulin kit in if you're diabetic, and it's got like a mesh package on the outside, and so there's just like steroid needles in the mesh package, so you can see them like the mesh pocket. You can see them outside.
After the thing with the money, because Maria ends up forcing the money onto Hector, and getting really mad at him in the process. There's a scene where Hector is standing in line with his mom and Tito and a bunch of the other workers. And they're in line. Speaking of this movie having too many characters, the guy sitting at the end of the line behind a table paying the workers is a character we do not see anywhere other than this one scene.
Yeah. The extremely angry, racist farm overseer.
Yeah. This could have easily just been Big Al, right?
Yeah.
But instead, it's this other guy who is, like, a middle manager at the farm. And he's handing out money, and he's saying, these workers aren't doing enough work. We're going to start paying them by the basket. And Hector pipes up, and he says, I mean, I guess this is another positive quality of Hector's. He stands up for the other workers.
They try to give him a sense of fairness. Because he's like, hey, you're trying to pay us less than we earned. We agreed that we would be paid by the day, not by the amount of product.
Yeah.
And the guy, again, is just like, fuck you, you piece of shit.
Yeah,
Your mom sucks.
The guy basically says, well, the deal changed. We're not doing that anymore. And he says, well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. And then he starts specifically shitting on his mom's work. He says, who did this? This is terrible. And his mom goes, that was me. That's my work. And he goes, well, you only picked half a bushel or whatever. Hector steps up and he goes, she's sick. And the guy kind of correctly says, well, she shouldn't be working on my farm then. Well, no, she shouldn't because she's sick.
No, because she's like, she's going to die tomorrow.
Yeah.
And this all leads to Hector getting like punching that dude in the face and like brawling.
And many others.
And many, including Tito.
Yeah, he is. He is called. Call
him. Everybody calls him Tio Tito.
Uncle Tito. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, it's funny because like I actually kind of do like the scene because Hector like gets in a rage and accidentally like punches Tito in the face and he's like, ah, shit, and he kind of like stops and realizes what he's done, and then Robert walks in and just fucking blindside clocks him. Like Robert and Big Al walk in and Big Al's like, yeah. I don't want you working on my farm anymore. And to be fair, I think he says it in a slightly more racist way than that. Like he like talks about like having people deported. Also, you're like, yeah, Hector, you just punched a dude in the face and then punched several other dudes in the face. That's going to get you fired, bruh. But they do not just fire him.
No, they put him...
And also, this is, like, there was a scene where we see them working out in the fields. We see Maria and Hector working out in the fields. And it's, you know, like, a very, like, bright and sunny day. And I was like, wow, it sure is nice here in the land of perfect day. Because I could sense we were about to begin a hero's journey.
Hector gets put in a porta potty, taken over the border into Mexico, and dumped by, like, a lake. And then the guys just leave. And he comes falling out of the porta potty, covered in shit, and, like, tries to wash off his face in the lake, and he's, like, all fucked up. The first place he goes after this, he goes to Billy's gym. Now, this doesn't make a ton of sense to me. Billy has a gym across the border. He was training Robert in Texas, though, and that seemed like his main job. Mm-hmm. But it also seems like he has this gym across the border that he is where he has been for a long time. I don't get Billy's deal at all.
I get it. Because the movie takes place in Laredo, and we went and looked it up, and Laredo is one of those cities like El Paso and Juarez that is kind of like cut in half by the border. So there's Laredo, and then on the Mexican side there's Nuevo Laredo. So I kind of buy it that he would be an American with I guess like a work visa where he can, you know, like go down to Mexico and stay for a little while and work at this boxing ring. But he is an American who can also, like, go work in America. There's a lot of weird border crossing in this movie. That, like, the border is only a problem sometimes, which I guess it probably is in real life, too, you know? But it's certainly not a problem for Tito or for Billy.
And for Hector, it's a problem sometimes and not others. Here, okay, he first goes to see Billy, and Billy says... I'm not going to train you. Sorry. I knew you, Dad, and that's great, but I don't train anybody anymore. You got to go. So Hector goes and sees this other guy and says, hey, I need you to get in touch with Tito and get me across the border. And the guy goes, I don't know. It's going to cost you $2,000. And by the way, they're in Mexico, they're both Mexican, and they're speaking English to each other.
Oh, everybody speaks English constantly in this movie, which I know it's a movie. I get it, it's fine. But it is kind of funny that everyone's just speaking, like, slightly accented English, and then, like, slipping into Spanish every now and then.
Yeah.
When it's, like, two Mexican guys in Mexico, or a Mexican guy and his Mexican mother and a recent Mexican immigrant alone in a house, like, speaking, like, just like Matt and I are right now. Like, it's a weird bit. It's a thing that I don't think we would have noticed if there weren't, like, two scenes in the movie where people speak Spanish. Or if they didn't do that thing, that Chris Claremont thing, you know, where someone's speaking English perfectly fine, and then they'll slip in a, like, amigo.
Or they'll say,
or yeah,
there's a good many Dios Mios in this movie.
Yeah.
But he says, okay, get me to Tito. He doesn't have the $2,000, but the guy's kind of like, okay, look, you owe me $2,000. Hector gets taken to Tito at night, where Tito is taking some people across the border. He sees Hector, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing here? And Hector's like, I got to get back to the farm. My mom. I got to get back to where my mom is. And Tito's like, look, man, I could take you to a different farm, but there's no way you're going back to that farm. You have been kicked out. So Hector goes back to Billy. And even though Billy said straight up, I'm not training anybody.
Well, there's this weird little sequence, because it starts the first time he talks to Billy. He goes, I want you to train me to be a fighter. And Billy goes, I don't train fighters. And he's like, well, what about those kids you're training? He's like, they're not fighters either. And then he goes back inside, and that's essentially the entirety of the conversation. And there's, like, a little kid who comes out of the, like a 10-year-old who comes out with, you know, boxing gloves around his neck. And Hector goes, hey, I saw you working out in there. You must be a heck of a fighter. And the kid goes, I'm not a fighter. And Hector goes, well, what are you then? He goes, I'm a boxer. And the difference between a boxer and a fighter is that boxers think. And I'm like, okay, this scene did not need to be spread out over four scenes. Like, because especially since it's the conversation they're about to have.
Yeah, it's a long speech that comes later from Billy, where he spends 2.5 minutes talking, where he's just saying the Apollo Creed thing about something being stinking thinking. And like, how he uses his brain in the ring as much as his fists. Like, it's not grand philosophy that boxing is as much about strategy as punching, right?
Yeah, it's about sizing up your opponent, seeing, you know, like moving around, like knowing where to move and when to move. Like, yeah, we get it. It's boxing. Come on, let's go.
I don't think Billy understands any sport. He doesn't really understand boxing. He thinks that is grand philosophy about boxing. Earlier, what he says to Big Al, when Big Al is like, yeah, I want big shows. I want to draw big crowds. I want to get heat and attention from my son. Billy says, well, then you should have.
He's like, the crowd's like blood and excitement and titans. They want like big guys. That's why I'm giving my son steroids, because crowds want like big guys and blood put asses in seats.
Yeah, and then Billy says, well, then you should have built a wrestling ring. Maybe he understands wrestling better than he does boxing, because that's actually true about wrestling.
Like, yeah, if you want fucking Texans to come out and get excited, maybe you can drive up to the Broken Skull Ranch and get some tips.
There's a part where Billy asks Hector if he ever plays chess. And all we ever get from that is that in chess you need to be like 2 or 3 steps ahead of your opponent. That's not just something that happens in chess.
That does lead to a pretty good scene during the training montage where he's making him play chess with him, and every time Hector will look down at the pieces and start thinking about his next move, Billy will slap him in the face.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you got to be able to concentrate and also not get hit. Which I thought was like a really, like, that's like one of the few really cool scenes we get in the training montage. But like later he's like, he makes him spar with a woman, a female boxer. And like over the course of the training montage, like Hector gets good enough to like knock her out essentially. And then like after he like knocks her down, he like helps her up and he's like, hey, I'm sorry. Are you okay? And she's like, yeah, I'm fine. And he's like, I'm sorry. Okay. And like Billy yells at him, rightly so, for like being like, don't apologize. She is your opponent. It's insulting to treat her differently than you would another opponent. And Hector's like, oh, okay, got it. I'm sorry. And he's like, no, I'm apologizing for insulting her. And Billy goes, if I wanted polite, I'd train ballerinas. And I'm like, dog. Dog. Yeah,
you don't understand ballet either, motherfucker.
Ballerinas, she's cutthroat.
Ballerinas are vicious.
I got a little movie for you called Black Swan. Let's talk about Odette and Odile.
When he first goes back to see Billy, Billy brings up the chess thing, and he goes, look, I can maybe train you. You either beat me in a game of chess. You play chess? And Hector's like, yeah. Well, no. And he goes, okay, either beat me in chess or you fight El Angelito. And Hector goes, oh, yeah, I'll fight El Angelito, sure. And El Angelito ends up being this huge white guy. And they get in the ring together. And for a minute, the movie turns into a slapstick comedy.
Now, Matt, you say he's a huge white guy, but you know who El Angelito was?
Who was he?
That was Jimmy Nickerson.
The director?
Yes. Who also, incidentally, did stunts on Raging Bull and Rocky.
Huh. Okay. That makes the boxing scenes make a lot more sense, honestly.
Yeah.
Because the boxing in this movie... And there's not any, like, real boxing in this movie until the end, anyway. But
also,
the boxing in this movie,
I gotta say, this guy might be a movie fighter's all-star, because he worked on Rocky and Rocky II, Raging Bull, The Cannonball Run, Big Trouble in Little China, Lethal Weapon, The Last Action Hero, I know you love that, D3 the Mighty Ducks, of course, Con Air, and a little film called Batman and Robin.
Oh boy. All as a stunt coordinator, right?
All as stunts or stunt coordinator, yes.
Yeah. All the fighting in this movie is of the Rocky style, where nobody's really blocking, and it's not that thing that you see in real boxing where stuff just kind of connects, or might maybe like connects like 30% or 60%. Every punch connects 100%.
Yeah, nobody throws a jab. It's all just like hooks and crosses and uppercuts that connect 100% of the time.
Anyway, El Angelito knocks Hector out of the ring. Like, he flies over the top rope like he's one of the Three Stooges. Like, he's fucking Larry Fine.
The movie decides to be a weird comedy for a little bit at this point. Like, between the start of the training montage and the death of Hector's mother, the movie is frequently very funny.
Then we get that little training montage with Billy and Hector, and that training montage is fine. I also like the thing where he's slapping him while he's trying to learn chess, because it's the only, like, really creative new thing that we see in any of the training montages. But the training montage is totally ruined because Billy is singing a song through the whole thing.
Oh, are you not into, like, Bruce McGill's hot new single from 2009, My Trainer Is Hard On Me?
The song is called My Trainer Is Hard On Me. There's no art to it. We actually see him singing the song, like playing a guitar and singing the song while Hector is pulling a car.
It's a million percent a banjo.
I was pretty sure it was a guitar, but I'll take your word for that.
He's doing some bluegrass picking is what he's doing, so.
But like, it is a very bad song that they have the actor actually sing, and there's no reason for it to be that. It ruins that whole sequence.
Yeah.
Then, immediately after that, Hector gets news that his mom has died. Like, Tito basically shows up to tell him his mom
His mom's dying.
Yeah,
holds on until he shows up for extra drama.
Yeah, but this is the point where all his trouble getting across the border does not matter. He is instantly back across the border at the farm with his mom. Because conceivably Tito takes him back. But, like, he goes and sees his mom. They have a little scene together for a minute, and then she's dead. And Hector's reaction to this is, like, stoic silence, which I understand.
He looks a little upset, but I want you to keep that phrase in mind. A little upset.
Well, okay, so there's a scene where her casket is lowered into her grave, and the you know, people are covering it up, and he's just standing there with a stoic look on his face. And I get that he's supposed to be this, like, stoic tough guy, but maybe we could see an ounce of emotion from him.
Just a little bit of emotion would be nice. Now, Matt, is this before or after Robert and Maria's date?
They're all kind of happening at the same time. But let's finish this part of the Hector story before we get to Robert and Maria. So,
okay.
Hector goes back across the border after his mom dies from her disease. And somehow he gets back across the border. And he starts training even more intensely with Billy. And he decides straight up, I'm going to fight Robert, and it's going to be at Red's. That is my goal now.
Yeah, so like at one point he calls Tito and he's like, "Hey, guess what? I got Billy to train me, so I can fight Robert at Reds. Bye."
Yeah, and his plan is to save all the other migrants with betting, or I guess maybe Tito comes up with that plan. I'm not sure. He just wants to fight
That's
Robert
Tito.
At Reds.
He just wants to fight Robert because Robert. Okay, so we got to go back to Robert's date with Maria.
Yeah.
Robert, like,
after like Hector runs goes into across Maria. The border. After yeah, Hector Hector's goes gone. Across the border, Robert starts really putting the moves on Maria. And Maria has been showing little bits of interest in him from the beginning because he's been nice to her and Hector hasn't. Right?
Yeah, so Robert walks around and like sees her on the farm again, like has a cooler and like gives her and her friend like some bottled water, And then he's like, hey, you know, this was my grandfather's farm. Like, he founded it. He left it to my dad. And he planted this peach tree over here because peaches are, like, really fickle. So we know that if, like, the peaches come out good on this tree, we're going to have a real good harvest. And, we're, you know, the peaches are about to come ripe. Like, do you want to pick the peach and have, like, the first one of the season? Her friend is like, we got to go. And Maria's like, well, hold on. Like, I'm having fun. He's like, look, if you guys need to go into town and get some groceries, that's totally cool. I'll give you a ride. But, like, you know, can I come along? Is that okay? And the next thing we see is, like, Maria and Robert walking out of the store, and Robert's got, like, a gallon of milk in each hand, and he's, like, doing curls with him, which is kind of, like, adorably stupid.
It's so doofy.
And he's, like, he's talking about himself. Like, so he's, like, you know, he's that kind of guy, but he's, like, talking about a fight that he had. But he, like, Maria's, like, laughing, and they're having a good time. And he, like, seems like it's a kind of a funny story. And again, if I was 28, no, I'd probably be talking about my fucking boxing constantly, you know? So, and then, like, Tito yells at Maria, like, because he sees her from the garage. He's like, hey, don't fuck this up. Like, that guy's dad controls our entire existence. Don't fuck this up for everybody. But, like, before she gets yelled at, Robert invites her on a date. He's having a party at the house tonight. And he's like, hey, please come to the party. Like, I would like you to come to the party as my date. So he asks her out on a date, like, after, like, spending a little time with her.
They go on the date. Maria puts on a nice dress.
She gets her shoulders out. So yeah. I was like, yeah.
Her friend, which I believe that's Rosa, her friend tells her, don't go to this party and do not get dressed up like this and just leave this alone. And Maria's like, no, like, I'm going to go do this. So at this point, I was like, okay, Robert hasn't actively done anything bad. But by proxy, he has led Maria to push away her friends who are rightly suspicious of Robert, right?
Yes. Yeah. And this was the point where I was like, oh, he's gonna hit her or something in the next 4 minutes. Like, I could feel it coming on. And to the movie's credit, that is not where it goes. Like, the movie does not decide that that's how we need to see Robert as a shitty guy, which I thank you from Mexico with Love for avoiding that route, because that would have been, like, really terrible.
It doesn't deserve a lot more credit than that. Because what actually happens is they go to the party, they dance for a little while. Maria, like, busts out her dance moves. They're pretty impressive. And Robert seems to be really into it. Like, he's really liking it. Like, he seems to be enjoying her company. And then he takes her into a little side room where they start making out a little bit. Maria seems into that from the beginning.
Yeah, she's, like, into making out, but, like, then when he tries to, like, kind of go under her skirt, she's like,
he gets a little handsy, and she's like, okay, that's enough. You're going too far here. And this is when we think, oh, something very bad is going to happen right here.
Yeah.
But it kind of doesn't.
Robert just goes, I thought we were having a good time. And she's like, yeah, well, I don't want to, like, get fucking finger blasted in the middle of your birthday party or whatever this is, which again is pretty reasonable.
Sure.
And then Robert's like, oh, fine, then I'm gonna go back to the party, whatever. Which, like, is not good. Like, it is odd. Like, if we're talking about, like, value neutral is zero, it's still, like, a negative one because he's being a jerk about it. Yeah. Like, he's being a jerk about being denied access to her body, which is, like, absolutely always her decision. He doesn't, like, force the issue. He doesn't, like, continue anything. He just goes out and then, like, he kind of, like, starts flirting with another girl.
Well, so another girl. Jerk. Another girl immediately comes up to him
and caresses his face.
And caresses his face and kisses him on the lips. And this is when Maria is like, whoa, what is happening? Then a group of, like, five other white guys come up and start and are, like, an offensive line blocking Maria from getting to Robert. Yeah. Which, again,
and this was, again, where I was like, is this going to go, like, real dark? And it's like, no, they're just, like, stopping her from walking over to Robert while Robert, like, kind of, like, flirts with this, like, other girl.
And, well, then Robert, like, didn't initiate any of this. The girl came up and kissed him on the mouth, and then his friends came up and started bothering Maria without him doing anything.
Yeah.
Then Maria goes up to Robert, and he makes an immediate heel turn.
Yeah.
Where he's just like...
He goes like, I guess I should have learned from Hector what happens when I try to help you people. And it's like... Yeah. Like help us to get finger banged at the birthday party? Like yeah, he's a fucking asshole. But I don't think this is the reason.
He's not quite hateable enough, right? And the entire time this scene was happening, I had it in my head what should have been the reason to hate Robert. And what it should have been was he should have told Maria when, like, say they go to the party and they make out, and maybe he goes a little too far, but she lets it happen, right? Even though she's kind of like, no, okay, right? Then, after the party, she should have been like, well, we'll see each other again, right? And he would be like, well, no. I mean, you know how this works, right? Like, I'm the son of the owner of this farm, and you're just some migrant Mexican. Like, I can't be with you. We had fun, but, like, no. I'm up here, and you're down here. So this can't work. Obviously not, right? That makes him shitty.
See, right? I don't think it necessarily needed to be even that. Because, like, it's, like, I don't want to see him be meaner to Maria, because Maria's a prop in this movie. Like, she's they're fighting over a sexy lamp. Like, that's, she has no additional character development of her own. It's not like I want to see a bad thing happen to Maria to justify a man's anger, because that's also that's worse storytelling.
Sure.
But I feel like this kind of being the conflict that leads to Hector becoming a boxer is weird, and I've been thinking about it while we've been talking about it, and I think the reason is Robert's not that much, like, look, Robert's an asshole. Like, he acts like an asshole, he's, like, being a dick to her, like, he tries to, you know, like take liberties, and then he gets all huffy when she's upset, instead of just being like, oh, okay, well, do you just want to, like, make out a little bit, and then, like, we'll go out tomorrow, which, again, I think is a reasonable way of going about the situation. Like, I don't want to see Robert be meaner, but he is not meaner to her than Hector is.
But again, my big sticking point is he's not hateable. And if you want to see a bad guy get beaten to a bloody pulp and triumphed over in the end, you have to fucking hate him. You have to want to see that guy get punched.
If this movie is going to be like transferring that macro conflict of, you know, the rich man who exploits the migrant workers, if it's going to be that, then you have to translate that conflict down to a smaller scale. If you're going to like do a half-assed job of it like this movie does. But again, like, the first thing we see from Hector and Maria is Hector's like, hey, yeah, shower's down there, kitchen's in there, there's a payphone out there, but it cuts you off, so if you call home crying because you miss everybody, keep the tears short. Which is, like, a way worse thing. Like, such a worse... I mean, look, I don't know if just being personally mean is worse than racism, but it's certainly, like, more of a dick thing to say than, like, yeah, I should have known you were... Like, I should have not even bothered with you.
After all this happens, and Tito has gotten the news from Hector that he wants a fight with Robert, Tito goes to Big Al and Robert and says, I got a solution to your problem. Because Big Al has decided to burn all his fields.
Well, because the crop is infested with rootworms.
Yes.
It's a cucumber. We find out at this point that it's a cucumber farm, which for some reason I find hilarious. But it's a cucumber farm. But all the cucumbers are infested with rootworms, and the only way to get them out is you can't put pesticides on them, you can't just, like, isolate the affected fields, you gotta burn the whole thing and start over next year. So they're gonna burn the fields, and they have nothing to pick.
And so Big Al is talking to, like, his accountant, in his office, and the accountant's like, well, this is going to lead to a lot of expenses. We got to have upkeep of the property, and you got to pay taxes, and we have to pay for the destruction of the field, and you got to pay your workers. And at this point, Big Al's like, oh, I don't give a fuck about paying my workers. Don't worry about them. That's when Tito walks in.
Well, I think that's like that is a much like I want to see Big Al taken down much more than I want to see Robert taken down, because Robert's an asshole. But like the accountant is like, look, you guaranteed the workers that you would pay them X amount of money. Like they have a guarantee on that they're going to make at least this much, regardless of what happens to the farm. And like Big Al just goes, fuck the workers. Like, I don't think he doesn't say that because I think this movie's PG-13, so they only get one F word. But he's like, I don't care. Why are you even talking to me about the workers? I do not care about them.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like they can go to court, right?
Yeah.
So he's got them on that. But that's when Tito walks in and he says, look, I think I can help you out with your problem. And Big Al's like, what problem are you talking about? And Tito's like, I was out there when you were talking about burning the fields, man. I know what's going on. Let's just have a big fight at Red's. Your son, Robert, taking on the biggest new star in Mexico, Hector. Big Al's reaction to that at first is like, fuck no. Why would I do that? No. And then he kind of comes around on it. He's like, wait a minute. I've seen my son beat up Hector. I know he can. I saw him cold cock him in that barn. Yeah, okay. He's going to win. Sure. Because eventually Tito brings him around. He says, I'll bring in a bunch of people. They'll all bet on Hector. And you can just rake in their money when you bet on Robert. What do you think? Now, here's what doesn't make sense about this. We haven't seen Hector be involved in any boxing matches in Mexico. Right? Like, he hasn't been building up a name. He's just been training. So why would he draw this huge crowd?
Tito has to kind of blackmail him?
In addition to saying that he'll bring out this huge crowd, he also says, oh, also I'll tell immigration that you've been bringing in undocumented workers to work your farm.
Hey, guess what? That's a real shitty blackmail, because you know what happens if the cops come to Big Al? Big Al goes, well, I have I just like hire guys through a guy named Tito. So if you've talked to Tito, he's the guy who you probably need to talk to. Like it's a weird blackmail, and also that Tito's like, yeah, look, if you don't do this fight, I'm gonna blackmail you, but I'm gonna bet all my money on your kid. Don't you worry, I'm completely on your side, boss.
Yeah. He calls him Jefe several times in that, speaking of Spanish showing up here and there in this movie. We never see Hector building a name, right? So we don't know why people would be so excited to come see him at Red's. Which is another problem with this movie. Like, this movie doesn't earn certain things.
If Tito would have been like, look, do you think there's anybody of the, like, 500 people in your fields, like however many people you have working in your fields, do you think there's anybody who wouldn't want to see their guy who got sent back to Mexico for standing up to you know, whatever the overseer guy was, for his dead mom? No offense, Robert, everybody wants to see him beat the shit out of your son. Like, everyone would go apeshit for that. Like, he could have just said that. Which is true.
Also, he says that he needs a month to promote the fight before they can do it. So, a month later, we're at Red's for the first time we've ever been at Red's in the movie. And we have the fight between Robert and Hector happening. There's some stuff between Billy and Hector about Hector's dad, where we find out that Hector's dad was not actually the great boxer that Hector thought. He was actually a shitty boxer. He had the nickname Boom Boom because he would always boom get hit and then boom hit the mat. I think there's an explanation for the spiders on his boxing gloves that remember.
There's a really funny part where because there's spiders on the boxing gloves, there's spiders on the logo for the gym where he's training, and Billy goes, hey, you know what those spiders are for, right? And Hector goes, yeah, my dad told me. It's all about spiders. They fight up close. Like, they get in there, and they, like, bite you, and they've got, you know, they come at you from all different angles. So it's like, you got to be like a spider in the ring. You got to be getting in close and fighting all the time. And Billy goes, no! Oh my god! You idiot! It's because a spider builds a web! You lure in your prey! You build your web, and they do all the work! And then Hector goes, nah, I'm just fucking with you. He said it just like you did. But, like, I kind of wish that had been, like, they had just been like, oh yeah, Hector's dad was an idiot who, like, didn't get it. Because we also find out at one point that Hector's dad died in a bar fight. I wish you, like, Hector would have been like, oh, okay. That makes a lot more sense based on what you've been teaching me. Because it's actually, like, a really good setup, and Bruce McGill is, like, really, his reaction to it is so funny, because he's so frustrated with this piece of shit kid at this point.
It's the only good acting Bruce McGill does in the whole movie.
In order to bring Hector to this fight, Tito's got to sneak him across the border. So he takes Maria across the border to Mexico. Then he's going to bring back Maria, Hector, and the other coyote who runs the Mexican side of the operation. And he gets them all in the van, and as soon as he closes the door on the van, there's a whoop whoop, and here comes Border Patrol. And they're in Mexico at this point, I think?
Yeah, so they're in Mexico, know. So it makes no sense at all.
And it's Officer Pete and Pete's partner. And Pete's like, hey, Tito, I gotta look into your back of your van here, if that's okay. And Tito's like, sure, but like, if you want to see, like, the cool new snake skins I've been getting, like, they're up front, actually. Like, I don't really have much back here, but, like, if you want to see the cool ones, Pete's like, no, Tito, I gotta see in the back of your truck. Like, and this is where you realize, like, oh, okay, like, Pete knows, he just hasn't been able to catch him. But they've got kind of a friendly lawman-lawbreaker relationship. And meanwhile, in the truck, the other coyote has a gun, and he's pulled it out. And it's this, like, weirdly tense scene that doesn't really play into the rest of the plot at all. But he's like, got a gun. And you're like, okay, so if Pete opens the thing, they're going to shoot Pete in the face and his partner. And then I just bury them in Mexico and go do this fight. Like, that's weird. I hope they don't have to do that. And so Pete's like, come on, Tito, show me the back of your truck. And then Tito starts, like, sweating and, like, Pete grabs the door handle, and Tito puts his hand on it. It's like, hey, Pete, did you ever tell your partner how I saved your life? And Pete's like, no, I don't think I did. And so Tito's like, yeah, like, the first time I met this guy, he got bit by a rattlesnake. I came up on him out here in the scrub, and he was, not only did it poison him, it bit him in the leg, and then he fell back into a cactus. So he's standing there, and I gotta suck the poison out. So I get down on his leg, and I'm sucking the poison out of his leg while I'm pulling the spines out of his butt. And it's, like, this really funny story, but, like, Tito's, like, sweating, like really being, like, and you can tell that what he means is, you owe me a favor, Pete, please don't open this door. And so it's actually, like, really an intense scene as far as the acting goes. And then Pete shows up. Pete put his fucking worker boots on for this scene.
The actor who plays Pete emotes more than the lead character of this movie by a factor of five, at least.
Remember when we said people were just, like, kind of upset at the funeral? Pete is like, Tito, you saved my life. And I just want you to know, like, the National Guard's going to be coming around. You can't be out here catching no snakes anymore. Tito's like, thank you, Pete. I appreciate the warning. I don't think there's anything left for me out here to catch anyway. Or Pete's like, Tito, I'm serious. If I catch you out here again, I can't do anything about it. You're going to be catching snakes on the other side of that border. Tito, get out of here. And, like, is about to have a, like, nervous breakdown. Like, it's every scene in every movie where somebody has to, like, take a wolf back to the wild.
Yes.
You get on out of here. You get on out of here, Tito.
Don't look back, like, at me.
Tito's like, thank you, Pete. You will never see me over here again. Like, I promise you, like, this, like, thank you. And Tito gets in his car and drives off, and Pete gets in his car with his partner and drives off. And we follow, because this is their movie, we follow Tito and Hector and Maria And I wanted to follow Pete and the other guy getting back in their car and the partner being like, so what was that, Pete?
And Pete just being like, he did me a big favor. And I actually really love Tito.
Yeah, like, it should absolutely, like, honestly, this movie becomes a million times more interesting if like, Pete just goes, I loved him, and he loved me.
Yeah, exactly. We had a tender moment when he was sucking snake venom out of my butt.
Yeah, like, I would be absolutely more into this, like, weird movie where it's like, oh, Tito has a boyfriend, and his boyfriend's a border patrol agent. That's super interesting. Anyway, so we go to the fight. If you're a longtime Movie Fighters listener, the arena is not dissimilar to the arena from the end of No Holds Barred.
Not at all. And that it is sparsely, like, shot so that you don't really get good looks at the crowd. And, like, weirdly dark. Clearly a fight scene on a budget. It's why they clearly couldn't do any other scenes where we see Robert fighting, which I think are necessary for this movie. We don't see any of that. This is the first time we see any of that. And this, when we find out that Robert is 28-0, this is where we discovered, it kind of came very clear to us, that this movie wasn't a Rocky rehash. It wasn't, you know, Creed before Creed. It was Punch-Out. Because Hector is 20-some pounds lighter than Robert is.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy is 100% Doc.
He's like, you gotta move!
His advice is the most generic boxing advice you have ever heard in your entire life.
And incidentally, Hector takes none of this advice. He doesn't, like, start, like, using his speed and really moving around, at least in what we see. Like, he's not, like, working his jab. Like there's a part where we see Robert's corner, and his quarterman is like, keep working that jab. And I was like, do you mean try working that jab? Because no one is throwing jabs. Everyone's just throwing full haymakers all the time and connecting.
Also in the match, another thing that makes Hector Little Mac is he gets knocked down, like, 6 times. And he only ends up beating Robert not by moving better, not by being however many steps ahead, not by tiring Robert out, not by anything that's been set up in the movie up to this point. He just punches more.
Yeah, he punches more and punches better.
And so by the end of the fight, he's punching more and he beats Robert. Robert goes down for a 10 count. And I believe it's Billy who comes in and goes, you could count to 150 and he won't get up. After the fight, there's kind of no more with Hector and Robert after this. Like, Robert is done.
We see Robert get hit so hard that he throws up in the ring, and then the match continues immediately, and then he gets knocked out.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because that's a thing I've never seen happen in boxing. I have seen it a couple times in pro wrestling.
Yeah. So what we do see is scene.
We also see Robert deciding not to take steroids right before the match, which we were like, guys, it won't surprise you to learn that Matt and I do not use chemical enhancements to our workouts, which will be not surprising if you look at us. But he's like Big Al walks in, he's like, hurry up with that needle. And Robert's like, I'm not taking the needle tonight, Dad. I can beat him. And it's like, is that how, like, I legitimately don't know. Is that how steroids work? Like, you got to take them right before you go have the match? Because I thought it was more of a during training thing. And then we started speculating on whether this was like a New Jack situation and he was just like taking PCP or cocaine.
The final, like, dramatic scene of the movie is not between our protagonist and antagonist, seemingly. It's between the people that they have been acting as proxies for. It's between Tito and Big Al. And Tito comes up and he says, well, looks like your boy lost. And Big Al says, let me guess, you bet on the picker. And Tito kind of laughs and he goes, yeah, I did. And Big Al says, well, what are you going to do with all that money? Tito turns around, he smiles, and he says, "We're going to go home." And then the end of the movie is legitimately kind of great.
It's my favorite part of the movie, because like we found out earlier that they were going to set the odds on Hector at 20 to 1. So he bet, like, and we find out that Tito bet his money and everyone, every worker on the farm's money on Hector and got a 20 to 1 return on it.
So what they do is they go back across the border to Mexico and start their own farm. And we see Hector kind of driving a tractor. Tito's out there kind of overseeing everything. And Maria's out there in an apron serving lemonade, which maybe that's a little much. But it's nice to see that they got to go start their own farm and live the life they wanted to live. That's a nice ending. All right, Chris, what are our high points of From Mexico with Love?
I do genuinely like that ending of we're going to bankrupt the white exploitative racist landowner and then go back to Mexico and spend take all of his money and then buy our own farm.
That's not a bad ending. Even though I don't know that it shot particularly great. Some of the actual, like, boxing fight choreography is not bad. Like I said, it's exactly Rocky boxing, where every punch connects.
That's fine, because, like, real boxing is not, like, exciting, like, movie fight scenes.
Yeah, it's not very movie-friendly. But it's fine, because it's easy to follow, and at no point, like, do you get confused about, you know, who's winning or what's happening in the boxing scenes. So I think the fight choreography is not terrible. Some of the characters are pretty likable. Tito is pretty likable. Maria is pretty likable.
I'm 100% a Tito Pete shipper.
And Pete is the best actor in the movie by a landslide.
Like, Pete is very clearly a guy who was like, yo, I'm going to put this on my reel. So give me this 2 minutes that have nothing to do with the rest of the movie so that I can work my emotions.
All right. Unfortunately, I'm afraid we're going to have more low points of From Mexico with Love. Hector is not likable in any way.
Hector is nothing. He's kind of likable in the way that, like, a comedy character who doesn't change is likable. Because, like, I think the best moment of him in the movie is when he calls up Tito and he's like, hey, guess what? Billy's training me. I'm going to fight Robert at Reds. And then, like, hangs up immediately. And then he's like, yeah, got it. Like, it's the first time where we're kind of like, oh, like, he's, like, cocky and kind of a dipshit.
Yeah, I mean, those are good words to describe Hector. And we talked about, like, what are some good qualities of his. I think we tried to figure out some good qualities of his in here. But again, there's no reason to root for him. And just like Hector's not a great hero, Robert's not a great villain. And we find out by the end of the movie they're not really the hero and the villain of the movie anyway. The real hero and villain of the movie are Tito and Big Al. Tito and Big Al are fighting the macro fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Robert and Hector are just trying to have a boxing match, trying to win a boxing match. Which I think speaks to your whole thing about this movie having too many characters. You have one duo of characters fighting the micro fight and another duo of characters fighting the macro fight.
This could make so much more sense so much more easily if Tito was Billy. Like, if Tito is like, I'm fucking sick of this dude. Like, I risk my ass bringing people over to work here, and he treats him like shit, and I knew your father, kid, and I'm going to help you get back at him. You could combine, like, so many characters in this movie into one character. Like, and do you need the mom if you have Maria? I mean, you do in this version of the movie, because, like, the stuff with Maria doesn't really work at all. Like, on any level. Like, her affection for Hector doesn't work any more than, like, works less, I think, than her enmity for Robert. Because at least Robert's, like, a dick to her, and she's like, yeah, fuck you.
I do wonder if some of this lays at the feet of the actors. Because the actor who plays Hector is just not great.
He's not.
Like, he's got a particular look that is that works, but that's really all he's got going. Kuno Becker does not do an amazing job as Hector. Likewise, even though there are parts where the actor who plays Robert, Alex Nezik, kind of is like weirdly goofy charming, like when he's curling the milk jugs, he's not a good, he's not hateable. He's not playing Robert as a villain particularly. And in some cases, I would say that's good, but here he needs to be the villain.
Like, Robert does a lot of things that it would be kind of fun to see Hector do. Like, the scene where, like, they're walking down the street, and Robert's, like, curling the milk jugs, and he's having, like, a fun, laughing conversation with Maria, and then Tito is like, hey, don't, like, get with him, he's bad news. That scene works equally well if it's Hector. If it's Hector and Maria, like, forming a relationship, and then Tito's like, hey, Hector is, like, a dipshit. Like, Hector is going nowhere in his life. Like, you need to not, like, he, like, you need to not put him above your own needs right now. It's so weird to have expected something horrible to happen to Maria and not want that plot, but then also not want nothing to happen because the movie requires some kind of reason. This movie puts us in a weird situation of, like, kind of wanting to see this prop, because again, Maria's a prop, and I think that's a huge low point. She has no personality. Like, she and Hector are made for each other because they have zero personality each. Like, but you're not even going to use the prop well, you know?
I think Maria benefits from having, from being played by a decent actress, and Hector does not benefit by being played by the actor he's played by.
Yeah. Story-wise, nothing connects. Like, nothing works about it.
Like we said, things aren't earned. Like, we don't find out that Robert is this great unstoppable boxer by seeing him dominate a boxing match. We just hear that he's 28-0 at the end of the movie.
You could immediately improve this movie by switching those two scenes. If it's Hector and Maria walking down the street, like, actually forming a relationship, that helps Hector and Maria. If it's Robert beating the shit out of a guy at Red's instead of Hector beating the shit out of a guy at the auto shop, that also improves the movie. Because we get to see him, like, maybe we see him cheating. Because we hear about it. There's a part where, you know, I said that he pulled Hector's shirt up like a hockey fight. And Billy's like, you pulled that shit in your last fight. And Robert's like, yeah, I won that fight too. But again, that's literally telling and not showing. If we see that, it's better.
Final thoughts about From Mexico with Love.
It's not good.
Yeah. There's a kernel of a good movie in this.
It's not. It's also not terrible.
Yeah.
And we should say. But, you know, Bruce McGill was in Ali, and the director of this movie was in Rocky. You can't compare it to those. If you compare it to those, it will suffer by comparison.
I wonder how it stacks up against Carmen's The Champion.
Well, Matt, buddy, let me tell you, there is only one way to find out.
That does it for this episode of Movie Fighters. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you would like us to do monthly snack situation specials, like we mentioned earlier in the show, you can go to patreon.com/warrocketajax and kick in some money. We would love to be able to do that for you. If we reach our $1,500 per month goal, we will do monthly snack situation specials. Our website was designed by Sean Bogus. Our music is by Michael Kill. The snack situation theme is by Matt Fisher. We'll be back in March with another movie. It may be Carmen the Champion. It may be something else. We will figure it out then. See you next month, everybody.
We love you.
This has been a Clytus Media production.